You are listening to Dauber Prospects Radio, Episode 14. We are joined by a special guest who we talk about his draft list, his top 50 players not playing in the NHL, and pick his brain on how he scouts the amateur ranks. So let's get started. Hey everybody, Paul Zwombeck here. Welcome to Episode 14 of Dauber Prospects Radio, the best and only fantasy hockey program dedicated to hockey prospects. The DPR show is produced every other week for your enjoyment, and show notes are found at dauberprospects.com. Come back often, and feel free to subscribe to our show on iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, at DPR_show, or email us at prospectradio@dauberprospects.com. I am with, once again, my co-host, Peter Harling, managing editor of dauberprospects.com. Peter, the big article on dauberprospects.com right now is our mock draft. Can you explain a little bit more of how you put this mock draft together?
Yeah. This was a little project that had a contribution from almost the entire staff at Dauber Prospects. So we've got 30 writers writing for all the teams, and not all of them were able to participate. Life gets in the way. So Cam and I picked for the absent teams. But essentially what we did was we had every team select their player for the mock draft, and we used the website Tank Nation or Tankathon, whatever it is. It's a generator for producing the draft lottery, and so it came up with the ranking, and Arizona had the first pick. So we started with our writer Keith, and he picked Nolan Patrick, and it went on from there. And it's been a really popular list, and we give a little explanation for each player why we think that they are the right pick for that team in that position. You can find it on the site. There's a little scrolling feed that goes across the top. I've tied it in there. And like all our feature articles, if you're looking for any of the feature articles from the past that have scrolled off the homepage, just on the nav bar, you click features and boop, they all pop up there. So KHL report, Liga, the fantasy hockey mailbag, all the league articles are there for your reading pleasure. And I think we might have to revisit the mock draft again once the dust settles on the season, a little bit before the draft. Maybe we'll revisit this and maybe even do a Las Vegas mock draft if you're in for that.
Oh, that's exciting. And I'm covering Vegas, so do I get to do that?
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, don't you think? We'll have all the writers produce their own protected list, and then you can pick from whoever's not protected.
Awesome.
No trading.
Yeah, I've been dying for a Vegas signing because all they have is Reed Duke, and I thought they were going to be a little bit more busy, but I'm dying to get into the Vegas Golden Knights. I can't wait for them to be a team. And this mock draft is not fantasy based, correct?
That is correct. If you want a fantasy based draft ranking, we of course have you covered there too. That's the fantasy ranking, the 2017 draft prospects, and you can find that in the same spots along the scroller at the top and then a little bit further down on the feature page.
All right, perfect. Thanks, Peter. And now I would like you to introduce our special guest.
All right, so our guest for today's episode 14 of Dauber Prospects Radio, is the former Dallas Stars director of scouting from when they won the Stanley Cup. He's been the general manager of the Calgary Flames. He's scouted for a number of NHL teams, and he is presently the director of scouting at TSN and a hockey analyst for them. Welcome to the show, Craig Button. Thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, my pleasure to be on. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we got a couple of topics we want to talk to you about, but I think the most prominent one would be your Craigslist article that just came out yesterday. The first player I would have a question for you on that is the fastest rising player in the draft, by all accounts, Kyle Makar. He's your top-rated defenseman. Would you also say he's perhaps the top-rated fantasy value defenseman in the draft this year?
Well, I mean, I guess with fantasy, you're looking at points, right? So, I mean, Kale Makar is a big-time offensive defenseman, and he generates points. So when you start to look at those qualities of being able to produce points, produce offense, I'd say that Kale qualifies. And, you know, he and I think Timothy Liljegren are the two guys that when you look at offensive production, they're the two players that are going to, you know, drive that area of the game from the blue line. So if you're looking for guys that, that I think can produce points, they're right there, those two guys.
Okay. Liljegren, and most of the consensus draft rankings, was the second ranked overall prospect earlier in the year, in the summer, at the start of the season. And he slipped down on your list and a variety of others even further on others' lists as well. So this kid's battled mono at the start of the year, and I think he's had some other injuries as well. Are those the reasons why he's dropped, or is there something else going on there?
You know what? He shouldn't have dropped that far on my list. I think he should still remain in the top five. It's really funny. You go through a list, and you go through all the process, and I'm no different than anybody else. And sometimes you start to go, and you might not see a guy as much. But when I start to go back over it, and because of questions like yours, you start to say, wait a second, am I being a little bit unduly critical of him in certain areas? And I think that I came to that. I think he and Makar are the best defensemen in the draft. I think they're both right shot defensemen, which certainly teams are looking for. And certainly now you look at their qualities of offensive ability, that's another thing teams are looking for. So I think when you put it all together, you might not see a player, but I've seen Timothy play, I'm going to say about 17, 18 times over the last couple of years. So really, I got a pretty good body of work on him. I call it the Jacob Chychrun syndrome. And I think looking back on Jacob had put so much into his draft year, and I think he tried to do a little too much. And I think that impacted, my assessment of him at times. But now I watch him in the NHL and I go, those are the things that he had shown for a longer period of time than the ones where he was trying to do too much. And I think Liljegren has fallen into that category as well.
That's a really interesting comparison, because Chychrun was ranked really high for the beginning of his draft year, and he fell way down the draft, and Arizona didn't fall for it, and they got a steal. So Liljegren could be a steal this summer too, I suppose. That's interesting.
Yeah, if he falls, my sense is that he's not going to fall. My last list will be a final list, and I can assure you guys, Liljegren, unless there's something that really is like that I consider to be really limiting when I see him at the U18, I don't see him not being in the top five.
Okay, another defenseman whose positioning on the list caught my attention was Nick Hag. He's ranked at 55. I think that might be raised some eyebrows and some Twitter feedback for you too, probably. He's a big kid. He skates really well. He's got a heavy shot. And he's got offensive upside. And there's a lot to like about his file. How come you have him lower than some others do?
I'm not so sure about the skating. I'm not so sure how quick he is. I'm not so sure about his lateral agility. He gets a lot of his points on the power play. And, that's one thing. And then I ask myself, is he a power play guy? And, maybe he is. But I think when you start looking at a player that needs to be really good defensively, in his own zone, below the circles, close the play, make plays under pressure, I got big questions on it. And if you look at my list, he's not a player that was there. He's been, as I watch more and I watch other players more, he keeps falling into an area further away from the first round. So, that doesn't mean he can't improve, but my assessment of him is that he's got lots of work to do in his quickness and agility. And, in terms of being able to close the play and be able to get to a puck defensively, hey, when you're on the power play, it's more of a static game. It's more of a standstill. It's a lot less of a pace that you got to play at. It's more stationary. But when you're a defenseman, you've got to be able to get the pucks. You got to be able to get pucks out of your zone. You got to be able to close on defenders. Those are big question marks for me with him.
So he stands out pretty good at the OHL level. So it's projecting him in the pro ranks that you have concerns for.
The only thing I project for. If I was just looking at the levels they were playing at, I'd just go down. Okay, he's the highest scorer. I'll rate him the highest. That's not what I'm doing.
Right. All right. So a similar question. Another player that was I thought was low on the list was Owen Tippett at 20. Another kid who's big, excellent skater, and he's perhaps the purest goal scorer in the draft class. What is it about his game that that gives you pause for concern from putting him in the top 10?
So if he's the purest goal scorer in the draft class, how come so many guys have as many goals as him or more?
Okay, fair question.
Jonah Gajewicz, Nick Suzuki. Hey, listen, Owen Tippett's got a great shot, and he's a really good skater. He's got a lot of work to do in every other area of his game. He's a shooter. I get it. And I can see that clearly. But you know what? One-trick ponies, you better be real prolific at the National League level if you're going to be a one-trick pony. Now, I'm not suggesting he's a one-trick pony, but he's got a lot of work to do in a lot of areas of his game to round it out. Right now, they're big gaps. And, you know, I've watched this young man for 2.5 years. And the same things I saw when I first saw him, I still see. I haven't seen very much improvement in terms of rounding out his game.
What are some of the components that you think he needs to improve the most?
The components?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know,
like
getting open.
Okay.
Well, attributes. He tries to beat people one on one. You know, when you're younger and you're bigger and stronger and faster, and everybody can skate by everybody, you can go past everybody. But as you go up the ranks, you can't just skate past people. You can't at the NHL level, unless your name's Connor McDavid, skate past people. So for Owen Tippett, you know what? He's got to learn the areas of the game that give him that are going to allow him to have success. I mean, to me, he ends up in the wrong areas on the ice too much of the time. And quite frankly, you wonder sometimes about, like, what level is hockey sense is at? That's what I worry about.
Okay, good points. I think Paul's got some goalie questions for you from the list. Paul, what have you got for goalies?
Yeah, looking at your top three, you got Michael DiPietro at 33, and then you have UP Luukkonen at 40, and then Jake Oettinger at 50. Why is Michael DiPietro your number
and
one?
And I think I have Caden Primo right behind Oettinger.
Yeah, you do. Yeah, at 51, yeah. You have Caden Primo. Why is DiPietro your number one goalie?
I think he's the best goalie in the draft.
Yeah, and most people have Oettinger on the top of his list. Is there a reason why Oettinger is much lower?
Well, I mean, I don't know, like, lower or whatnot. I can't speak for other people. I watched Michael DiPietro play. I think he's got exceptional hockey sense. I think he's got exceptional athletic ability, lateral agility, competitiveness, understands the position. He's 6'1", just shy of 6'1". Everybody's going to knock him on size. I think he's got all the natural ability to be a goaltender. And Jake Oettinger is good, but I don't see much there. I don't see any much of a difference between him and Caden Primo. So, you know what? I say this all the time. I can't speak for other people. I can only speak for what I see.
Okay. UP Luukkonen moved down from your January to your March list from 22 to 40. Is there a reason why he dropped?
Yeah, because he's had a lot of struggles, and he might even drop further. He might be one of those kids who had his best moments as a 16-year-old. I've seen a lot of players have really good, you know, 16-year-old seasons and really showing, and they show promise, but I haven't seen very much development in his game over this year. In fact, I might be being a little bit kind, keeping as high as he is right now.
Okay, and final question about your Craigslist. Who's one player that you would rank much higher for fantasy and one lower in fantasy-wise?
For points?
Yeah.
Higher? Well, I mean, I'm trying to project who I think the players are or are going to be the best players in the NHL. Like, you know, when there's guys within a range, right? I mean, you look at players like Hepaniemi, who I think is a terrific player in Swift Current. Morgan Geeky, who's a really, really good player in Tri-City. I mean, he went through the draft last year, but to me, he's certainly showing that he's more than capable of being a big-time player and a big-time offensive player. You consider players like that, and you know the guy that I would it's always hard to say like somebody that maybe shouldn't be rated as high, because if I don't have him rated as high, I have him rated, and players need development time and they need to be in the right situations and people need to understand where they're at. But at the same time, you know, when you consider where players are at, a big part of it is development. But you know, I don't really know who I would rank lower, you know, like in terms of fantasy. I mean, you probably have to look at some of the defensemen that I don't think are going to be real big point producers, Merrill Heskinen. But I think Merrill Heskinen is going to be a Mark Edward Vlasic, you know, Ryan McDonough type, you know, that type of a player. So if you're looking at points, you know, he's probably not the guy you want to get in there points-wise.
Okay, perfect. Let's move on to your top 50 list that you put out in February. Your number two guy, Alex Nylander, he's been struggling in the AHL as a rookie, 25 points in 57 games. You have him at two. Why is he struggling, and do you still believe in him?
100% I believe in him. In his peer group, and all you got to do is go back to the World Junior, in his peer group, he was amongst the very best players. And I'll tell you why he's struggling in the American Hockey League, because it's a hard league to play in as an 18-year-old kid. The strength, the type of schedule it is, the players he plays with, he doesn't play at the same level of skill in the American Hockey League. And, you know, when I watch players over a period of time, I'm not just looking at one thing. You weigh different things. But I'm trying to rate who I think are the best prospects outside the NHL at that particular time based on a lot of different factors. And just because a player may be struggling or may not have the points doesn't mean he's any less of a prospect in my view.
Okay. Moving on to the defensemen. You have Thomas Chabot and Charlie McAvoy as your 1-2 defensemen. Then right behind McAvoy is Philip Myers, an undrafted free agent. Why is he so high on your list ahead of the top 2016 draft picks like Sergachev and Olli Juolevi?
Well, because I think he's a stud. I think there's not an area of the game that he can't play in. And if you go back to his draft, everybody wants to talk about undrafted. I could care less. I'm looking at what a player is today. Philip Myers had a bunch of nagging injuries in his draft year that prevented him from really finding a rhythm. And he was in the lineup at different times. And he wasn't out. Like, he'd be out for two games, come back, and he never found his rhythm. If he was in last year's draft, he would have been a first-round draft pick. A first-round draft pick. But when I watch Philip play, and I watch a big, rangy guy who can skate, think, handle the puck, shoot the puck, play lots of big minutes, play defensively, has a little bit of a physical edge, I think that's a big-time player. So, you know what? I'm evaluating players over different drafts, and I think that Philip Myers is a terrific player. And I think Sergachev's a terrific player, and I think Juolevi's a really good player.
Could you give our listeners maybe one or two guys, fantasy-wise, that they should pinpoint from this top 50 list, maybe guys that are a little further down on the list that you think could be real fantasy producers?
Yeah, Alex DeBrincat. Is there any better place to start than with Alex DeBrincat? Three straight 50-goal seasons, 50-plus goal seasons in the Ontario Hockey League. Last guy to do that, 1976-77, Dale McCourt in the OHL. All he does is score. He's an exceptionally smart player. He produces points everywhere he's been. And I think going into a place like Chicago, he's going to produce points again. That's the obvious one. I have Clayton Keller at one on my list, and Clayton Keller is going to be a big time point producer. When I start to look at other players, in that grouping, Matt Barzal is a really good playmaker. I think he's another player that's got to find a little bit of balance within his game with respect to taking more shots. And, you know, I think right now in the Western Hockey League, he can make those plays, but in the National Hockey League, you're going to have to be a threat to shoot the puck a little bit. And I think he's got a good shot, and I think he's advancing there, but a really good passer. So he'd be another player that could be producing points down the road.
Hey, Craig, can I just jump in? I want to ask you about DeBrincat. I love his game, and I think he's going to be successful in the NHL. I'm just not sure if he's going to be ready for the NHL in October. And if I'm not mistaken, he's got another year of junior eligibility, being 1 year removed from his draft.
No, he's an over. He'd be an overage. He's not going back to junior. He's a 97 birthday.
Okay, so he's not in the OHL a year later then.
He's a late birthday, so he's born in after September 15th. So that means that he has to wait an extra year to go in the draft, and now he's done. He can come back as an overage. Alex DeBrincat's not coming back to the OHL as an overage player.
No, that was going to kind of be my point. There'd be nothing for him to do in junior anymore. He's done it all three times.
He's a 97. He can turn pro.
I see. Excellent. Okay. Thank you.
If he's not in Chicago next year, he'll be in the American Hockey League.
All right. Did you have anything else about the top 50 list, Paul?
Nope. We can move on to scouting, Peter. I know you got a lot of questions. You want to dig deep into Craig Button's brain, so take it away with scouting, Peter.
Yeah, so some
you won't
of these...
have to dig too far to get anywhere there.
Some of these questions are regurgitated for our listeners. I asked them of some of our previous guests, like Shane Malloy and Russ Cohen and Gus Katsaros, but you can ask three different people the same question and get three different answers. And these questions really fascinate me. So our listeners are a lot like me, and they want to be better at scouting junior prospects, primarily for our fantasy leagues. What's the most important tip you have for us amateur scouts?
Yeah, I would give you two, okay? And they're what I consider to be big picture aspects. Number one, don't scout. You have to scout over a period of time. It's not about good game, bad game. A good player can have a bad game, doesn't mean he's a bad player. And a weaker player can have a really good game, it doesn't mean he's a good player. You got to be really, really careful with that type of evaluation. I know you go to a game and you want to see a player and you go, oh, geez, he wasn't that good. And you might question yourself. Over time, you have to, I call it building a dossier on the player. You're looking, you're watching, you're saying, okay, what does he do here? What are your concerns? You know, what do you think can be improved? What do you think maybe can't be improved? But you got to do that over time. It's easy to go to a game and say, guy scored 3 goals and he was great. But I've seen guys that score 3 goals. I've seen guys that have scored 40 goals, 50 goals that weren't going to translate to the NHL in my view. And doesn't mean I'm always right, but I think you always have to be careful with the short-term scouting. Like, so take it over a period of time. Do not get into the good game, bad game scouting process because you'll make a lot of mistakes in that regard. The second thing I would say when you're evaluating, when you're really looking at players in terms of big picture is that players are going to change over time. And you may like a player at one point in time, and people ask me this all the time, why is he falling? You know, when you watch players at a younger age and you see them more, there's a lot of players because they're not physically mature or they haven't really emerged yet in terms of their game, haven't been given the opportunity, haven't maybe given themselves an opportunity. Doesn't mean they're not good. They just haven't been able to really put it on display. So, you know, I hear it all the time. Well, he was a good player at 16. I know he was, but I'm at 18 now and I have to continue to watch and other players are getting better. And you look at a player like Cody Glass, for an example. Cody Glass was a first round pick in the Western Hockey League. So, you know, he was a good player, but he wasn't ready to show what he could do last year as a 16-year-old. He went to the Ivan Hlinka under 18 camp. You could watch, you could see him skate and you're keeping an eye on him, but there wasn't really this, oh boy, what about this kid looks like a really good player. But as the season starts, you start to watch and you start to go, wait a sec, that guy's got a lot more to his game than I've seen. Not that I give him credit for, than I've seen. And you gotta keep watching. You gotta allow that to happen. So, again, it's over time and players are going to merge and some players aren't going to get better. And, big key here, sometimes you're going to go, that guy's not as good as I thought. Don't hang on a guy that isn't as good as you thought. You got to be able to say, hey, listen, he's not as good as I thought. There's some concerns there, and you got to move on. You know, one of the things that I'm a big believer that when kids are younger, and I'm talking about 15, 16, 17, I'm a lot more patient. I'm watching them grow. I'm watching them handle different situations, and you're trying to say, I won't be – but when they start to get into the draft year, and we're talking about the NHL, right? It's big boy now. And you know what? The evaluation is got to be such that you got to express it. And it's not about saying a player is weak or whatnot. You got to just say, hey, these are my concerns. Doesn't mean that they can't improve them, but you got to be able to identify them, and players have to work through them. But those would be the two things that I would say on a big picture thing. You go to a game and you can watch a guy skate. You can watch a guy shoot the puck. You can watch a guy. But you got to keep in mind too, guys, it's about the NHL. Can they take those skills and make them translate to the NHL? I was talking to somebody just recently, and I said, there's lots of players that can skate fast that can't play fast. there's lots of players that don't skate as fast that play fast. So you got to be careful about getting caught up in the flash and dash stuff, because you know that's another area where mistakes are made.
Okay. So when you're watching a player, what would you, and you're trying to project him to the NHL, what is there an attribute or a skill that you think is the most important skill in translating to the NHL?
I think there's two things that you have to really be able to look at. Number one, what type of player is he? So, you know, is he a scorer? Is he a two-way centerman? Is he an elite player? Is he an offensive defenseman? Whatever, you got to be able to say, okay, this is the type of player he looks like. This is the type of player he projects as. Okay, now does he have those skills to be able to carry them out? So, you know, one of the mistakes that continuously has been made over years, you watch a defenseman skate, and at the lower levels, defensemen can skate by people. And then all of a sudden, people think the guys are going to be great offensive players. I watched Jay Boumeester play when he was 15 years of age. He was a fantastic skater. I never thought he was going to be a big-time offensive player at the NHL. And, you know, just because you skate well doesn't mean you're going to be a great offensive player. And, you know, Jay Boumeester, I think there was a lot of expectations that he was going to be this great player offensively. And I think he put a lot of pressure on himself. I think when Jay settled into who he was and what he was, he became a very, very good player. And make no mistake about it, Jay Boumeester is a very good player. But he's not an elite player. But I think that a lot of people thought he would be an elite player based on the skating. And, you know, so I think you got to really identify type of player. The other thing is, you're looking at kids at 17 and 18 years of age. You're going to have a lot of time to physically mature by the time you're in the NHL at 22, 23. And that's around the age when most players, 21, 22, when they're really getting there and really starting to establish themselves. So, you know, you look at a player that might not be as big or as strong, but you got to look ahead to where you think he might be when he's 21 or 22. Because once a player gets stronger, you know, he's going to be able to take those skills and apply them a lot more firmly and a lot more assertively once he gets to the National Hockey League or once he turns pro. So I think that, those are areas you got to work at. And I'll be straightforward with you guys. If you don't have hockey sense, you're never going to be a good player at the NHL level, ever. You cannot be a good player at the NHL level without hockey sense. It's impossible.
That might explain why Owen Tippett is not as high on your list as some others, I suppose.
You know what? And there's varying degrees of hockey sense. No, but there's varying degrees of hockey sense, right? So with Owen Tippett, like, you know what? You got to work with him. He's an excellent shooter, right? And he wants to score. But, like, you know, and this is – and I don't have this advantage. I don't have this opportunity – to sit with a player and to question them. Teams will do that, and they will sit there because the skills are obvious, and you want to sit with them and understand, you know, some of these things. You understand where you have to get open. You know, one of the things for Owen is that he can't just think the game on a one track mind. He's got to be able to interact with his teammates. So by that, what I mean is, if he gets open and the puck isn't there, it doesn't matter. And if the puck gets there and he's not open, it doesn't matter either. So those are the areas that you got to work at. So I am not suggesting that he doesn't have hockey sense. I just don't know at what level it is. And, you know, I'll be straightforward with you guys. If I thought his hockey sense was real top notch, he'd be in the top five, no question.
Okay. So when you're watching prospects and your scouting, do you have any tricks or things that you look for in assessing certain skills like skating or skill or smarts or speed? Is there any like particular attributes you look for in any of those components?
There's two things that I think are really important. When you're watching, I've been lucky to work with some great people and some great mentors. Dennis Patterson, who was the chief scout for the Philadelphia Flyers for a long time. I worked with him with Minnesota. He was a defenseman in the minors. He was a defenseman, won the Defenseman of the Year in the American Hockey League, played I don't know how many games in the NHL, 175 or so. But he always used to tell me, be really careful with defensemen where the play is always behind them. Because defensemen can't have the play behind them. It's not good. It's like having a cornerback where the wide receivers are always behind you. You're going for touchdowns. It's no good. So that's one thing with defensemen. Number two, offensive, watch the guy that always has the puck. Always watch the guy that always has the puck. The guy that has the puck, there's a reason he has the puck all the time. And, you know, I go back to Braden Point. And I was lucky. I watched Braden Point play since he was 12 years old because he's from Calgary where I live. But he was going to play. He was drafted by Moose Jaw in the first round. And after his midget season, he was able to go to play to Moose Jaw. It was at the same time Morgan Riley was coming back from his knee injury. So lots of teams were in there. Anyway, the Tampa Bay Lightning had gone in to see Morgan, but they wanted to see, you know, they wanted to see where he was at. And Braden had just come from midget hockey. And Steve Yzerman was there with Al Murray, their chief scout. And Steve kept asking Al Murray, who's this? I forgot what number he was. He goes, well, who's this guy? And Al says, well, he's not eligible for the draft for 2 years. Don't worry. And Steve kept coming, who is this guy? Who is this guy right here? And you know why? He had the puck all the time. He wasn't big, but he had the puck all the time. And good players have the puck all the time. And I think that, you know, sometimes you overthink it. You know, you got to be careful with the guys with the flash and dash. I call them symbol players. You know, a symbol player in the band, every once in a while, they clash and you hear the sound of a symbol. It's the same thing with flash and dash players. You might see a flash here. And listen, they've been good players. I'm not knocking them. They've been good players coming up. But I don't care how good they've been. I'm looking at what I think they can do at the National Hockey League level. And some guys, you know, it's just not going to translate because they just don't have the hockey sense. They don't have enough of their game to really have it translate. Doesn't mean that they're not good juniors. The NHL teams are drafting the best players from the levels below them. All you got to do is look back and see all the guys that have been prolific players, amateurs drafted that didn't make it. And you got to go and evaluate that too. So if you want a trick, and I don't think it's a trick, study history. Study players and go, does somebody remind you of somebody that made it? Does somebody remind you of somebody that didn't make it?
That is a really good tip. And my last question for you, you have the opportunity to watch a lot of live games and you watch a lot on TV, the same with me. And I think a lot of our listeners are junior fans as well. And of course they watch some games on TV too. So how is scouting games live and on TV different? And how is there anything you can do to maximize each opportunity, things that you would do differently?
Yeah. You know what I would say? I think that the way TV is, like, you know, HD TV camera angles now, you can call a lot of things from TV. My own preference is I want to see players live and I want to get a feel for them live because there's things at times going on that TV can't capture. But once you get a feel for a player, I think you can go back. And I think TV is very, very useful for going back and saying, okay, this might be a question for me. So I go and you zero in on that area. You know, you start with a broad spectrum and then I think you can be a little bit more specific with TV. I think, you know, it's funny because you think about scoring chances and you think about goaltenders. I find goaltenders are the hardest guys to watch on TV because the play might be somewhere else. And I want to see how a goaltender in a live game and I get a better, a better view of the goaltender in a live game with respect to how is he reading the play? Is he compromising? Is he ready? Is he looking around? Does he understand where the next challenge is coming from or where the next threat's coming from? So for goaltenders, I find it a lot more difficult to watch them on TV. You can go on TV and watch a technique, but in terms of how they move and how they read a play, I really like to watch them live. Other players, I think you can call some things and try to pinpoint some areas on TV that build off of what you've seen in live games.
Awesome. That's all the questions I have, Paul. Do you have any more?
No, that's everything. Thanks, Craig. That was awesome. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I hope I was helpful in the areas you were looking for and hopefully insightful. And as I always say, you know what? There's a lot of different thoughts and a lot of different opinions on the players. And you know what? I respect all the different opinions. And you know what? The people that put in the work and the people that put out the list, you know what? It's not easy. And you know what? I think the beauty of everything is that people look at it differently and people look at it from different lenses. And I think I learn, you know, somebody has a guy rated high, and I start to go, I better go watch that play or a little bit more. So the lists and the different evaluations help me in a lot of different ways. And I think that's important, too, to be open-minded to areas. You asked me about scouting. You know, just because you believe something doesn't mean you're right about it. And so if you're looking at something, you go, okay, maybe I better go look back at that. Maybe I better reevaluate some of those things. Again, it goes back to being open-minded.
Yeah, no, you've given me a lot to think about too. Like, pause for concern with the two players that I asked you about, Hag and Tippett. I'll be watching them in the playoffs for sure. And I think, you know, I'll try and eliminate all the previous bias I built up about them and try and start with a clean slate and look at building the profile more objectively than just looking at the aspects that I like and trying to focus on those. I'm going to have to listen to this episode a few times to absorb it all. There's so much information in here.
Can I just say something to you, too? You know what? We all have biases. We all have biases. Okay? Everybody has biases. I think it's really important to recognize what your biases are. You know, somebody might not like a smaller player. Somebody might not like a player that doesn't skate as fluidly. Somebody might be looking at an area of a game of hockey sense, and while it's good, you might, you know. And I think that by recognizing your biases, it also helps you, you know, work through them and try to keep an open mind on the players. Because, you know, we again, there's no perfect player out there. And, you know, like, and again, like Nick Hague and Owen Tippett are terrific young men too. And I always find that difficult, you know, when you're critiquing them. And I always say you can critique the player, and that doesn't mean you have to critique or be critical of the person. And, you know, you can see the things that they have. And you can see the things that why people would like them. And it doesn't mean that I'm right. It just means that that's where I'm coming from right now. But I'll be honest with you guys. I reserve the right to change my mind.
Yeah, that's a nice privilege we all have when we do more than one ranking and more than one list. We can
don't be hesitant to change your mind and say, you know what, I didn't see that before. You know what? He's showing me something I hadn't seen. I was wrong.
Yeah, and you know, that's one thing I like about your list is you don't necessarily care what the other lists say. You have your opinion, and you make your list based on your opinion, and you have no problem explaining why you see these things the way that they are. And I love that. I think it puts a lot of perspective onto the draft and the players and everyone's lists. So. You know, I really respect that, and I appreciate that. I love reading your stuff, love watching you on TV, and I think every time you're on, I learn something from you. So thanks for that.
Well, thanks, and keep in mind, we all have different perspectives on the game, and I'm just offering mine. And hey, listen, I think you got to listen. There's a lot of, I mean, hockey is something that people love, and we are passionate about it. So. You know, you can learn from everybody, and I think that's a big key in terms of, you know, continuous growth.
All right. Thanks for coming on, Craig. We've taken up a lot of your time. Maybe we'll have you on again in a future episode down the road sometime. I would love that, and I think our listeners would really enjoy it too.
Okay, great. Well, then we're going to do that.
All right. In the meantime, everyone can catch you on TSN. Tell us what you do entirely for TSN, because I know you got a couple of different things on the go there.
Well, I mean, I do panel work, you know, on the Leafs or Senators games. I do That's Hockey Tonight. I do That's Hockey. You know, all our different Sports Center hits. I do broadcasts for a lot of Hockey Canada events, U20, U18, U17, RBC Cup. And also I go out and do the scouting, watching the players for the draft and, you know, where players sit, you know, with respect to prospects outside the NHL. So I got a lot of variety, but I'll be honest, I really like the variety. It really works well for me.
The James Brown of hockey, the hardest working man.
Oh, well, there's lots of people that work hard, I can tell you that. But for me, the variety really works well for me.
All right. Thanks so much, Craig. Really appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. You guys have a good day.
Talk to you later. Well, that's it for this special edition. We want to thank Craig Button for joining us this week to give us more information on his Craigslist, his top 50 players not playing in the NHL, and some scouting notes to use while watching both the young kids play and the NHLers. We can't forget to thank you, the listener, for tuning in as well and giving us a review. If you haven't done a review yet, please take a few seconds to rate and review us. You wouldn't believe how much a few great reviews will do for our listenership. Please make sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @DPR_show. We post other podcasts that may be helpful, some ideas for better scouting, some other scouts we enjoy following, basically anything to do with scouting and prospects and fantasy hockey. You can also follow or tweet our personal accounts at @Tuombag and @PHarlan. That's it for now. Talk to you soon, Peter.
Cheers.